Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Jason Mitchell back on. This is actually a part two, a continuation of our most recent episode, part one. And in that last episode, we're getting a big recap from Jason. We haven't talked to him in a really long time, so a great recap of all the great fishing that he's had so far this spring and into this early summer time period that we're in right now. Great recap on what's going on in Devil's Lake. And in this particular part of the episode, or part of the conversation, if you will, and it just felt appropriate to split this into two because we are just covering so many different topics, and everybody might want to choose to listen to different podcasts for different reasons and the different talking points that are covered. And in this one, we kind of look more so where we're at today and looking ahead. It's less of a recap and more of the current part of the season and what we're going to see into this early summer time period. You know, out here in the Dakotas, as many walleyes as get caught with anything get caught on a spinner behind a bottom bouncer. And Jason's got so much experience with it, and it's always one of our most popular topics this time of year. And Jason's got some really great takeaways, and it's been a couple of years since him and I have really done a great bottom bouncer episode. And you know what? It's you know, we talk about the simplest form of the topic, and Jason does a really great job of getting kind of creative with it. For those of us that are always just kind of looking to up our game, there's just a lot of different ways of looking at it, and make no mistake about it, is that time of year where participation is high. Everybody's getting out, destination trips are happening, schools are out and families are traveling, and people are getting out fishing, especially on the weekends. And like I said, in the Dakotas, what better than tracing weed lines with bottom bouncer and spinners? That's anywhere in the potholes of South Dakota, North Dakota, the reservoirs out west, anywhere. It's just a great topic of conversation this time of year, and Jason is one of the best. So here we go, part two with Jason Mitchell. Northland Fishing Tackle has revolutionized the soft plastic market for walleye anglers when they came up with Eye Candy. The soft, limber action, the stretch and durability, the ability to absorb scent, those are just a few of the reasons that make Eye Candy so desirable for walleye anglers. If you're looking to get your hands on some Eye Candy for the first time, or you're looking to stock up, Northland Fishing Tackle has made shopping easy with their Eye Candy Kit. Their Eye Candy Kit comes with over 100 pieces of eye candy, an assortment of colors, and all the different styles that they offer. I'm talking about the grub, the jig crawler, the night crawler, the minnow, and the paddle shad. They even throw in a pack of tungsten jigs. Check out the link in the description of this podcast to check out the Eye Candy Kit. The fishing opportunities in Northeast South Dakota's Glacial Lakes region are phenomenal. You've heard us talk about it on the JMO Podcast before. It's a multi-species destination. We're not just talking walleyes or perch in the wintertime. There's phenomenal pan fishing. There's fantastic bass fishing. There's muskies and big northern pike. Everything's there, with hundreds of lakes and a bunch of communities that offer all kinds of fun events and lodging. For information on this area and the fishing opportunities here, head to sdglacialakes.com. You'll see the link is in the description of this podcast. On there, you're going to find all the resources that you need to research. Or if you feel like you're already familiar with the fishing opportunities there and you already plan your annual trip, if you're not checking out this website and the information on it, then you're leaving some on the table. Head to sdglacialakes.com. You're going to find the lodging opportunities. You're going to see maps of the area. You click on the fishing tab, and it's going to showcase some of the great fishing opportunities in that area. From there, you can look up the local guide services or the bait shops. That's where you're going to find the real-time fishing reports that you need when you're looking ahead and planning on one of these trips. So again, if you want to plan your next fishing adventure, consider Northeast South Dakota's Glacial Lakes region. Head to sdglacialakes.com for all that great information. The link is in the description of this podcast. That time of year. Well, I do want to transition into some other stuff. I'm really peppering you with the recap. We had a lot to talk about there, and I wanted to give Devil's Lake some love because I haven't really had a great it's been a minute since I talked about Devil's Lake this spring or whatever, so I appreciate that a whole bunch. But I do want to switch over and just maybe kind of back it up and talk about this time of year in general. Here in the Dakotas, the pothole country, you know, we're already talking about Devil's Lake, which is a great representation, but, you know, the small potholes have been representing really well. You know, a lot of great stuff happening down in South Dakota, you know, Northeast South Dakota, Glacial Lakes, you know, the Dakotas are, there's a lot of great fishing happening, this is one of those times of year where things just start to transition and start to pop up. And, it's for a lot of people, it's their favorite time of year. School's out, families are able to take vacations. I kind of want to get into that vibe a little bit and talk about the time of year and just sort of some of the things, the presentations, just the good fishing philosophy for this time of year. We're done with the recap. I'm thinking, some of the things you've been on social media lately, the bottom bouncer and spinner bite happening right now. If we were to kind of back up and look at the Dakotas, looking at pothole country, looking at some of the best fishing going on in that area this time of year. Let's just talk about that a little bit. And, this time of year and some of the presentations for people that aren't necessarily fishing a tournament or aren't trying to put a big bag together, but are trying to go out and catch some easy fish. Let's have a little bit more lighter conversation in that regard.
Well, there have been some easy fish. I mean, last few days here, we've been on Devil's Lake and we just had to get some video content for Northland has a new eye candy profile. One of them in particular is a rigging leech. It's a leech profile, works phenomenal on a spinner. And boy, I tell you what, here, and this is pretty common in a lot of places right now, as far as just catching fish, like, and you look at like national angler surveys, and it's kind of surprising where, you know, like a big percentage of anglers would rather catch, say, 10, 15 to 18 inch walleyes and keep a limit for a meal versus 125 inch walleye. And so just going out and catching fish is a big deal, right? Just going out and catching fish that would be just what you consider excellent eaters is a big deal. And, you know, obviously, you know, you look at like forward facing sonar, all this stuff gets a lot of attention. But the reality is that if you're fishing and you say you're 50 years old and you're fishing with your 75 year old dad and your brother that hardly ever fishes, and three of you are going to go out in a boat, you're not going to be able to stand on the front of the boat with forward facing sonar and make it a fun day for the three of you, you know? And so it kind of gets back to the basics, you know, running a bottom bouncer and a spinner right now in a roadbed or a ditch or a outside weed edge is a high probability, high batting average deal where you're going to catch fish. I mean, goodness, we've been out the last couple of days and caught all kinds of fish, you know, and running a bottom bouncer, like say 1.3 to mile and a half an hour, running that rigging leech, that eye candy leech on the back of that harness, no live bait, and just move until you find them. And when you find them, turn around, go back and forth a few times, wear out your welcome, keep on looking, you know, and go back to where you caught a few, but you're just running up and down these weed lines. And shorten up the snell. You know, I like to keep that snell about 3 feet or so. We've been running a lot of, like, say, 7 to 12, 14 feet of water, depending on where we're at. And, ounce and a half bottom bouncer, and just put it down and go. And it's really easy fishing. It's catching a lot of fish right now. And that's pretty typical. You know, this time of year, that water warms up. And the thing is, we've talked about all this cold weather we've had and this wind and the cool water temperatures we've had through the spring. What I find is when you have years like that, that good, easy fishing seems to keep going well longer into the summer, you know. And so we do have some great fishing coming up here in July. I mean, it is good, but it's going to get good. I mean, it's going to get even better. It's going to get easier. And as a matter of fact, it's Van Hook Arm on Skokomish or Devil's Lake or Alkaline Lake or whatever. I mean, any slough in North Dakota, I mean, you look at the stocking reports, all the little lakes that we have that are full of fish right now. And once that weed line develops too, the other thing is you can see the weeds. You can physically see the weeds sticking out of the water or reaching the surface of the water. You troll that outside edge. If you can find some rock along it, that makes spots even better a lot of times, if you get weeds and rock together. But outside edge of the weed line, put the bottom bouncers down and go. And the thing about a bottom bouncer is it collects a lot of the weeds. You can have 5 pounds of weeds hanging on that bottom bouncer, but as long as that spinner harness is running free and clean behind, you'll catch fish on it, you know. And so that's something that you can just do right now to catch a lot of fish. And, you know, we should talk about that little girl.
Remember? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I had Spence on after that. That was the first time I'd ever met Spencer Deitz. you know, a Fargo angler, tournament angler. Go back and listen to that podcast, anybody that's curious, if they haven't already. But I had never met him before. And if I was being honest, I'm sure I'd heard his name a few times, but I just it never clicked in my head. But meeting him was a great impression. He's got a really cool thing with that youth, you know, fishing clinics that he puts on. And he reaches out to you to see if you'd be involved with, like, you know, a little giveaway of a day of fishing with one of these, you know, kids that's attending the deal. And of course, you said yes right away. That was planned months in advance. And then, so yeah, let's talk about the fishing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was just, just something that, melts your heart, right? I mean, there's nothing better than watching kids catch fish. I mean, is there anything better? I mean, I mean, it's as good as it gets, especially when you know that it's like something they'll never forget. Like, I can remember going out when I was a kid and, you know, people that took me fishing and mentored me, and first time I ever went out and, like, caught a limit of walleyes or caught a big walleye. I mean, I can remember these memories vividly. Like, that was a big deal to me, you know, and it was kind of, I guess you call it, life changing. You know, it altered the course of my life. Like, after that, I was shocked. I didn't want to do nothing but fish, you know, like fishing was very important to me, you know? And, so, you know, you can see that spark in other kids. It's cool. But, yeah, I mean, Spencer's a phenomenal angler. I mean, he's tough on Devil's Lake.
Yeah.
He's a really good tournament angler, and he's great with kids. He does a great job with those kids clinics. And so, yeah, he reached out and they did a essay, the winner of the essay contest, you know, we'd go out fishing and film it and stuff. And so, yeah, you were involved with that part of it and we're along for that. And yeah, it was windy, you know, talking about wind, 30-mile-an-hour winds that day, I think.
You can go into all the details because, you know, like Spence and I, we didn't even really get into that. We made mention, you know, just because that's how him and I met, but we didn't even really talk about any of the fishing. So the details kind of matter right now.
Yeah, well, so it was funny because, we were trying to decide, well, where are we going to take this little girl? And I had a couple ideas, and there was one spot that I had fished. I probably hadn't fished it in a week or so, but I knew there was a lot of fish in there. And I knew nobody else had been in there. Very few people have been in there since, you know. And so, yeah, we went in there. And I remember that little girl's bottom bouncer hit the bottom, and she didn't go. I'm not kidding. It was like 5-6 seconds, and yeah, she already had a fish on. Well, that's either a really good start or really bad.
Oh, like, I know.
You ever notice, like, when you catch a fish immediately, it's like a really good omen or it's a really bad omen.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And we didn't go 20 feet the rest of the day. It didn't feel like, and we were like, she was reeling in fish nonstop. We couldn't keep two lines in the water. Someone was the wind. I was fighting the wind. I was back trolling with the drift sock. We were running bottom bouncers and butterfly blades and just a leech. And but that little girl caught so many fish. I mean, and just the kindest, most polite little girl. I mean, her parents have done an excellent job raising her. I mean, just a sweetheart. And we were probably out there for maybe 3 hours, and I don't think it would be an exaggeration at all that she caught 40 walleyes. And,
No, I mean, you went through like a half a pound of leeches. Like, I just remember Spence.
And so quick. And,
yeah, like Spence was like, we're kind of down to our bayonets here. He was like sifting through the ones that are left. And, you know, anybody that's bought a bunch of leeches knows that, like, you know, there's not every single one of them is made equal. So he was down to like these tiny little like inch and a quarter leeches. And that was in like 3 hours, a half a pound of leeches.
Yeah, the fish didn't care. I mean, we were still catching them, and she was just, and they were nice fish. I mean, just nice, like 18-19 inch fish. I mean, they hit that bottom ball, so I mean, they just smoke it. And fighting hard, and we're fighting the wind, and she's cranking on these, you know, rods bent, or she can hardly keep the rod tip out of the water, you know, and fish is fighting, you know, and it was just precious. And yeah, so that was pretty cool. You know, you always love to be a part of something like that. I mean, that's what I miss about guiding. I loved, you know, guiding, you get people that hadn't caught fish much or hadn't fished much, or kids, you know, that, and just have a day that completely changed your lives, you know, and that's what you're there for as a guide, you know. And so I miss that. And so taking her out, you know, I was able to kind of relive that and pretend to be a guide for a day, you know. But yeah, it was good.
Yeah. And, you know, bottom bouncer, fishing with bottom bouncers and spinners, One thing that I always I like to include in the conversation is the different types of spinners. You know, the time and a place for what you have tied on behind on the business end
of the bottom bouncer. I know you. I know what you have in the boat. You've got a big variety of spinners. You've got a lot of past history with it. I kind of want to talk about that a little bit. Like, what's the time and place and things you got to consider? You know, why do butterfly blades work well? What, you know, when do you use a leech versus a minnow versus a crawler harness or color, or bigger blades versus smaller blades or maybe just a plain snell? I want to talk a little bit about that. Some of your philosophy, some of your fishing memories, and sort of break down, some of the considerations on maybe how to fish or the situations where one might work better over the other and vice versa.
Well, you know, there's great, I mean, that's a great topic, right? And there are variables. Like if I'm in just lots and lots of snags and I just can't hardly, like I'm just retying all the time, I might just go with a plain snell. I catch all kinds of fish with a plain snell, even at faster speeds. But the butterfly blades in particular, you know, they spin at a lot slower speeds. And so if I got to make a lot of turns, for example, and say there's a lot of algae, like right now, if you have rocks on Devil's Lake, there's all kinds of slime and scum and algae growing on those rocks. And if you make any contact with it, you get your spinner fouled up, you're not catching fish. And so the butterfly blades turn really good at slow speeds. And then, especially if you have a float on the butterfly blade, it just stays up out of the slime. And whereas a spinner harness, you know, you've got the weight of the blade, it's a little heavier, it takes a little bit more to turn the blade. You have to keep your speed more consistent. And so if you're turning the boat in and out, sharp turns to try to stay on structure, that's where I really like the butterfly blades. And I also like the butterfly blades. Like early in the year, sometimes, I mean, you know what? Sometimes the fish don't want the heavy thumping of a blade. They just want something more subtle. Sometimes a plain hook or just a single bead or a float and a bead or a butterfly blade or a tiny flicker blade will catch fish better. You know, so, you know, if the fish are off a little bit, if the water's colder, a lot of times I use less. If the fish are in a funk, I use less. But like right now, we've got algae blooms, the water's starting to really green up. We've got wind where it's adding some turbidity to the water. The fish are fairly aggressive where the rod just bends over the rod holder and it's pounding and you just reel the fish in. I mean, it's like right now the fish want the bait going faster and they, you know, it's just a deal where you just make that bait easier for the fish to find. And so I've been using just deep cup Colorado blades now and fishing them faster. And again, when you start fishing blades faster, you know, get away from the live bait and just use like the eye candy. Some people, you know, or use gulp, you know, something that is more durable. Like the eye candy floats. And that's the other thing I like about it, that helps keep your spinner up off the bottom and up out of the debris. But, you know, especially when you start going 1.3 miles an hour or faster, replace the live bait with something that, you know, like the eye candy or something that's synthetic or some type of a soft plastic or water soluble plastic. Because there's a durability and efficiency that we can catch several fish on one bait. Whereas a night crawler, you know, I mean, what's the life expectancy of that? Especially if you have perch, white bass, and everything else nipping at it. And so as far as bait, I mean, I find myself using leeches a lot early and then start switching over to crawlers later on. You know, like I started using crawlers quite a bit a couple weeks ago, and they're catching fish too. A lot of times, a lot of different things catch fish. It's just, you know, once the water warms up to a certain point and the fish have a, you know, higher metabolism, they're going to eat whatever comes in front of them. And so some of it's just efficiency, you know, and that's where the soft plastics options come in for tipping or for bait. But, you know, yeah, and I like to use a smaller blade on inland water, like say like a size 4, size 5. I like to use heavier snells so that way they don't twist up. So, you know, again, I burn them. I mean, I might go 1.5, 1.6, sometimes up to 2 miles an hour. And if you're running spinners, like on an 8 or 10 pound snell, sometimes that snell gets really twisted up in those high speeds. And so I like to use a heavier snell, get an 18 inch fish. You can boat flip it. You can just hoist it in the boat, not worry about breaking off and it just being efficient, you know? So 14, even 20 pound snells on the blades. And, a lot of times I shorten up the snells around weeds and slime and put them down and go. But later on in the summer, like from here on, you know, I'm running a lot of metal blades, you know, deep cup Colorado is probably my favorite. And, you know, just more vibration, more water displacement, fish can find it easier, you know. But again, sometimes you'll see, like, you know, I've seen it many times where in the morning right away and the fish were on and they were hot. you know, you catch them on spinners good, and then the sun get a little higher, something changes, maybe you wear out your welcome, and there's not nearly as many fish left on the spot. And, you know, maybe you make an adjustment where you go back to a plain snell, or you go back to a prop rig or something really a lot smaller, a lot more subtle, you know, as the conditions change. And so when the fish are aggressive, go with the, you know, deep cup Colorados. When the fish are off, or, you know, things are tougher, then less is more.
Northland Fishing Tackle has revolutionized the soft plastic market for walleye anglers when they came up with Eye Candy. The soft, limber action, the stretch and durability, the ability to absorb scent, those are just a few of the reasons that make Eye Candy so desirable for walleye anglers. If you're looking to get your hands on some Eye Candy for the first time, or you're looking to stock up, Northland Fishing Tackle has made shopping easy with their Eye Candy Kit. Their Eye Candy Kit comes with over 100 pieces of eye candy, an assortment of colors, and all the different styles that they offer. I'm talking about the grub, the jig crawler, the night crawler, the minnow, and the paddle shad. They even throw in a pack of tungsten jigs. Check out the link in the description of this podcast to check out the Eye Candy Kit. The fishing opportunities in Northeast South Dakota's Glacial Lakes region are phenomenal. You've heard us talk about it on the JMO podcast before. It's a multi-species destination. We're not just talking walleyes or perch in the wintertime. This is there's phenomenal pan fishing. There's fantastic bass fishing. There's muskies and big northern pike. Everything's there with hundreds of lakes and a bunch of communities that offer all kinds of fun events and lodging. For information on this area and the fishing opportunities here, head to sdglacialakes.com. You'll see the link is in the description of this podcast. On there, you're going to find all the resources that you need to research. Or if you feel like you're already familiar with the fishing opportunities there and you already plan your annual trip, if you're not checking out this website and the information on it, then you're leaving some on the table. Head to sdglacialakes.com. You're going to find the lodging opportunities. You're going to see maps of the area. You click on the fishing tab, and it's going to showcase some of the great fishing opportunities in that area. From there, you can look up the local guide services or the bait shops. That's where you're going to find the real-time fishing reports that you need when you're looking ahead and planning on one of these trips. So again, if you want to plan your next fishing adventure, consider Northeast South Dakota's Glacial Lakes region. Head to sdglacialakes.com for all that great information. The link is in the description of this podcast. Yeah, and certainly not to breeze over, you know, in the Dakotas, especially where you get multiple lines, you know, having a little variety pack there too, right?
Yeah, we always try to mix it up and just let things go each day, right? Like say if I'm using the bow mount and I'm pulling with the bow mount trolling motor, on the front rods on each side, I might start off on each side. I might have a deep cup Colorado, and maybe I've got kind of a chartreuse theme on one side with a, you know, like I've been running these, you know, those Eye Candy rigging leeches. Those have been just phenomenal. They just got such a sweet little flutter on them, and they're just a perfect length and profile. They just look good in the water. I'm catching all kinds of fish on them. And then maybe on the other side, though, I put a deep cup Colorado blade spinner and maybe a single hook and a half crawler. Okay, so I'm going to see first off if fish do prefer live bait, something with some real meat on it, or the soft plastic. Then on the back of the boat, I might run something completely different. I might run a plain snell and a leech, or I might run a prop rig and a full crawler, you know, and just kind of mix it up. And you'll see some days it don't matter. Some days the port side of the boat's catching all the fish because of the direction you're going along a weed line or a piece of structure. And so you got to figure that in, or you can't get both sides of the boat going in the spot. Only one side of the boat will fire off at one time. And then when you turn around, go the other direction, maybe get the other side of the boat to fire. Or, you know, the fish are going on the spinner blades. And that is just a case where that particular bottom ball is just going over the fish first. And it's bigger, easier to find, easier to see. It's just attracting more fish to it. And the back of the boat is quiet because the front of the boat catches them before the back of the boat gets to the fish. Then there's other situations where the fish are bumping off the boat and the back of the boat's catching all the fish, or the fish is maybe they fall or move up on the spinner blade, but they're just not aggressive enough to hit it, but then they'll hit the plain hook that comes in right behind it. You know, there's all kinds of different things you can play with, but it's definitely an opportunity to observe. You know, I remember, you know, kind of getting back to the, I guess you call the theme of this entire podcast, you know, as far as trying to learn and, you know, sometimes taking clues and getting your teeth kicked in and going back to the drawing board. I remember Nick Linder, you know, I was sitting in the pickup one time, it was in the wintertime, and you know, he was talking to me and, you know, like, what makes a great angler? I mean, we all suck at times. I know anglers are way better than me, and I've seen them when they sucked, right? I mean, that's, I'm buddies with some phenomenal anglers, like people that I wish I knew what they knew. And, but everybody is, you know, had their good moments, their not so good moments in regards to fishing. But the best anglers across the board, they're very curious and they're very observant. You know, if you just focus on those two things, being curious and being observant, everything else kind of comes into play. Everything else falls in line because everybody has different personalities. Everybody does things differently. Everybody's wired differently. Some people are very methodical and get it done that way. Some people are very impatient, try a million different things and get it done their own way, right? You can get it done different ways, but if you're curious and observant, that's the backbone of catching more fish, if that makes any sense, as far as just bettering yourself as an angler. If you're curious and observant, you'll get it done. You'll figure it out.
Oh, man.
Most of the time, which is good enough. That's all you can hope for is most of the time.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you're not as curious of a person, I can speak to this. If you're not as curious of a person, put a curious person in the boat. And that's my wife and I. Like when her and I first ever started fishing, I felt like it was my responsibility to take her fishing and do all these things for her and show her and tell her everything that I knew. And she was the curious one, like, why aren't we fishing over there? Why aren't we trying that? You know, why do we stay in this spot? And I'm just like, I'm putting it down, right? Like, I know everything.
Yeah.
And as I've grown as an angler and now, like, the dynamic between her and I and hunting too, like, I love it when she asks about a spot that I'm clearly not thinking about. And I'm like, well, let's pick up and go then. Like, she's curious about, you know, these things. She asks these questions or, you know, how come we don't throw this? Like, I have put that away where she's way more curious than me. Like, and it's probably an observation. She's just observing me doing things. And then she's just trying to find those windows. She's just trying to find my blind spots for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then, and I have embraced that completely where I just put a person that's more curious than I am in the boat. And like I was telling you, like last year fishing the Dakota Walleye Classic, like if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't have had any of the successes that we had. It wasn't a successful tournament for me, but I learned a whole bunch and I owe so much of it to her and just purely her curiosity of like bait selection. You know, like I was thinking live bait, she was going to throw, you know, some of that eye candy on a tungsten jig head. And we were going along and she popped, you know, pre-fishing, she popped like the four biggest fish of pre-fishing, like without her, being curious about how we were catching these fish, you know, I would have had nothing going on into that tournament. And yeah, I mean, I got all kinds of stories like that, but that would be my two cents is if you don't find yourself being, you know, as diverse in your ideas or as curious, man, you can put a curious person in the boat and then honor that. Don't poo-poo it. When somebody says something that sounds ridiculous to you, give it a real contemplation and try it. You know, and just, man, you just don't know where that's going to take you. I'm telling you.
Well, yeah. And it can be easy to get on a tangent and try a lot of things that don't work. Right. I mean, it can work against you at times. I mean, sometimes you can get on a tangent and try a lot of things that don't work. We've all been there, but you know, if you're curious, you know, you're going to wonder, well, what's over there? What's over, you know, you don't have to, you know, stick to just fishing a handful of spots that have names that everybody knows about. You know, you just have the curiosity to wonder, well, how far did this point go out or what's over here? Oh, I didn't know this hump was here. You know, if you're curious, you're going to find those little things that are special, you know, or you're, you know, willing to embrace a new presentation and get confidence with it. You know, it's, and that can be difficult at times. I can't tell you how many times somebody will email me or something and, no, I can't catch fish on jigging ramps. I've tried it and I hate it. And I keep going back to a jig and a minnow. And well, if that works and that works. I mean, we all know how many fish a jig and a minnow will catch, but you know, you have to kind of almost embrace and keep trying things. If you know something's working for other people, even if it doesn't work for you right away, you just have to keep going back to the well to get that confidence, to get that situation where something specifically works in a specific situation, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care what presentation it is. It could be the most tried and true presentations in the world, but I can think of all kinds of examples where I couldn't get that to work. Right. And so, you know, you have to, it's a fine line. You have to be confident. And the only way you're going to be confident is, you know, you kind of have to stick with what you know, stick with what you know works most of the time, but dabble with the other things to try to over time get confidence with a handful of things, you know, whether it's new spots, whether it's new presentations, you know, that's where the curiosity comes in, you know, and if you're just expecting immediate results, don't think of it that way. Just try it because you're curious. Like, people are doing this. I've never caught fish doing that. I'm curious. You know, I want to dabble with it. I want to play around with it and see if I can get this to work for me. You know, there's some things that I've never been able to get to work for me, but I know it works for other people. And so, you know, when it comes to, like, say, filming a TV show when we're on the road or fishing a tournament or something, where I feel like, okay, I got to get this done. I might not spend all my time doing that, but it's in the back of my mind, and I'd love to learn more and love to learn it. It just hasn't happened yet, but I hope that someday it will, you know? And I can think of a lot of things like that, you know? And so,
oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
and if you think the anglers at the top, like, you know, if you think that the best of the best tournament anglers, or, you know, the top guides that guide, you know, on multiple lakes for multiple species and continue to have success, like, if you think that those guys just have everything figured out before the day even starts, and they're, you know, they're flexing that curiosity muscle all the time.
Yeah.
The top tournament anglers, I just remember it really stuck out. I remember asking John Hoyer that point directly about, like, his style of pre-fish, just anywhere he goes. How often does he go into, you know, how much time does he spend pre-fishing on things that he knows, whether it's patterns or spots or presentations, and he's just trying to, you know, just build up his arsenal or build up his milk run of spots? Or how much time does he spend, or what percentage of his time does he spend exploring and being curious? And he spends a lot of time being curious every single tournament, even on bodies of water that he's fished many, many times for many years. I mean, the guys at the top are constantly just being curious about stuff and going at it hard, because that's, I mean, if it's not just fun for you, that it really does produce some of the most fun outings, some of the most fun fishing experiences, and some of the best catches of the year for anybody.
Yeah. Well, it is cool. I mean, as far as getting a high from fishing, it is cool and fun figuring out something new. It is. I mean, you know, I mean, I find it fascinating. I mean, fish to me are fascinating. I remember being 10 years old, I could sit and stare at an aquarium for 10 hours at a time. Like, fish are just fascinating to me. You know, I mean, they're just cool, you know? And, I mean, and so when you learn something new, I mean, and then you've got results or, you know, some type of satisfaction that, you know, you can quantify afterwards. I mean, that's what keeps it going. I mean, you look at guys like Clayton Folden. You know, I mean, just a gem of a human being, but just a legend on Sakakawea. You know, he won that Dan Hook Classic this year. I don't know how many checks that guy has cashed on Sakakawea. I mean, I don't know if you're going to find a, you know, I mean, he's a guy that everybody has a lot of respect for, you know, just, you know, and, you know, I'll have conversations with him, and, you know, the things that he's talking about is, like, he's not complacent. I can tell you that. Old Clayton, you think, oh, he's just sitting there pitching a jig. No, that guy tries all kinds of different things. He still gets a charge out of learning and trying new things. I mean, I remember one year, I think he got seventh and we've got eighth. I think we were right behind him. And, you know, he was up in the north end running slip bobbers along the trees. I think he was running slip bobbers with creek chubs, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And I go, wow, Clayton, he's probably the first person in Scott we'd ever even try it or do it, you know? But that's him, right? I mean, he's curious. He just loves fishing and always trying to figure out a different way or something better, you know, and that's what makes it fun. But, you know, he's still going hard. He's still mad at the fish all these years, all the fish that guy's caught, all the days that he spends on the water, and he is still mad at the fish. You know, I just love that about him. I love to see that in people, you know, you just never get enough of it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, his brain is taking him to places. It's, you know, sometimes it's fine tuning. Sometimes you're, you know, guys like that, you know, you're curious about, you know, breaking down color or hook size or like those little things. But guys like Clayton, he's thinking about, you know, where can I cash a big tournament check in a place where I've never have before? Like a big idea, like a big idea. How can I be 5 miles away from the nearest other tournament boat and get them, you know, and do it in a way that I've never done before? Somebody like him that's done a whole lot of things and he still finds ways.
Everything. Yeah. Oh yeah. And if he has to go back to the well, he can beat you that way.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You don't want him to have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. He could join a pack of bolts and get it done. It's uncanny.
Yeah, for sure. Well, man, we've covered a lot of things. I know this one went a while. You know, I'll probably split it into two podcasts, to be honest with you, just all the all the topics that we covered here. But, you know, we haven't talked in a while, so I love the recapping. I love, you know, the reflection on the season so far. But definitely, you know, we got to give some love to, you know, like the bottom bouncer, the spinner, the weed line bite that's going to be happening in so many places, and just how somebody can go out and fill their live well if they want to. I love that conversation too. So that being said, man, let's wrap this up. Unless something's chewing on you a little bit, and we can get back together here, you know, in the next couple of months or so as the season goes on, and talk about the next thing. But if there's nothing else chewing on you, go ahead. Otherwise, let everybody know, you know, where they can find your stuff, or just any sort of sign off. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's always a pleasure catching up. And yeah, we'll be in the boat together again here soon. So yeah, I guess that's all I've got. I get back to fishing. It's already 10 o'clock. I'm
starting. Do it, man. All right. You go fishing. We'll be in touch, dude. I really, really appreciate the time. And yeah, we'll be seeing you soon.
All right. Sounds good.